Yes, ladies and gentlemen, my name is Jack Farmer, and I'm coming to you live from the world famous Elite of the Week studios in sunny Southern California. And have we got a show for you? But we've got matches that earn shots to ladder matches, we've got matches to earn shots to finals matches, and we've even got matches to earn a few bucks helping out Matt Hardy. But before we get into all the shenanigans, hijinks, and flim-flam, allow me to introduce you to my fantastic partner who may be a genius, but sometimes really has to stretch to make his point. Ladies and gentlemen, let's hear it for Flo Bo Boyce. How are you?
Well, that damn sure ain't me, man. What are you talking about? So I gotta say, if you're in the chat right now, help me guess who superhero or villain Jack Farmer's talking about. I'm doing well, man. I was wondering if this show is being broadcast from the world famous Elite of the Week studios. Can I get a ticket? Can I get the chance to see the studios? I'm just outside of my bedroom looking in, man. I'm kind of desperate. What's up?
Well, right now, yeah, as you mentioned, we have a studio, but of course, with, you know, social distancing, we don't have anyone here right now. They're all cardboard cutouts, just like the Super Bowl. It's big of a deal. Yeah, I would show you all, but I just don't have the time. Because Flobo, after last week, we had such a great response. So many people wrote letters and sent messages and carrier pigeons saying just how much they loved the addition last week. So we're bringing him back. Ladies and gentlemen, let's hear it for the law, Dr. Roger Corral.
What's up, guys? How are you?
Now, I don't know if you heard the intro, but of course, it's something we do at the beginning of the show. I introduce Flobo using some sort of comic book character, and we all give the chat a chance to try to guess who I'm referring to. It's basically a way to kill time while all the viewers roll in, is what we're doing here, pulling back the curtain. Did you hear the intro, and do you think you know who it might be? No.
To be fair, I was in the green room.
There's a green room too.
We never let you into the studio.
Carrier pigeons got to go apparently, but I have two guesses, but I think because one is more famous than the other, I'm gonna go with Reed Richards, Mr. Fantastic.
Yes, you got it. Mr. Fantastic, Reed Richards, stretching a genius. Now, I was stretching calling you a genius, but... Well,
that's every week. Twice a week he does this.
Okay. I got introduced after the genius? Like,
Well, people wanted you back. That's different. Like, I just show up every week.
That's because they like the big three, baby.
Right. Yeah. Yeah, to be fair, I was referencing Flobo towards the guy that was the star of a movie franchise that failed twice. So, but hey, let's get into the show. Speaking of show, before we talk about the real stuff, obviously big news broke today, and I use the term big for a reason. Paul White signed with AEW. Spoiler alert, I'm not putting him in the list because he didn't do anything today, but it's still crazy. It's still big news, and everyone watching I know would say to themselves, how could they not bring this up if I didn't? Paul White signs with AEW, big shocker. Roger, what are your initial thoughts on this?
I think this is the first big blow. Like, this is the actual start of what's going to be. I'm telling you guys, we're getting The Undertaker next. I'm telling you, it's going to happen. We got that Tony Khan money. We might get some Tony Khan money at some point. It's going everywhere.
That's what I do it for, the money.
The love of the game, guys. What are you talking about? I think Roger has some truth to what Roger's saying. I mean, it's kind of funny because wrestling fans are like, oh man, I thought he would be a lifer, like totally ignoring the WCW years, like it didn't exist. Here's somebody that I felt they had a lot more to contribute, but I guess I was more surprised because I thought Big Show was towards retirement. But this just says, I'm willing to work in any capacity that's needed. So, yeah, of course, if you have a chance, you still want to work, and someone's giving you X money versus X plus bonus money, why not go for your bonus?
I think this is a sign of such great things to come in the wrestling industry, because I think we were at a point for, and look, I don't know anybody. I know nothing backstage. I know nothing that's going on. I'm not a journalist. I just read Twitter and believe everything I read. So what I think is happening, I think Big Show, as you guys mentioned, he was like, look, I got more to do. I got more I can offer. And they were probably like, look, I mean, you're probably right, but we're full. We're staffed up. We don't really have any openings. And this allowed AEW to say, look, if you want to try to do something, we've got openings. Come on over here. And the more you have people saying we have opportunities and the more people can move around, the more people are going to be able to find work. And that's always a great thing. So I'm really excited about it. I'm excited to see what he contributes. I'm not really sure what this new show is going to be. It sounds like there's going to be some more information to come, but more shows, again, mean more jobs, mean more wrestling for us to watch. So I think it's win-win-win all around.
It looks like it's going to be a feeder to Dark, which is, I mean, I'm not sure if it's going to be the same length, but Dark is getting up there in match count. What, 17 matches for last week? I mean, I love wrestling too, but jeepers, you know, like break some of that stuff up.
So it'll be really cool. I agree. I think that it looks like it's going to be, because it's called like AEW
Dark Evolution.
Evolution.
My brain kept wanting to say Evolution, and I was like, I have a feeling they're not calling it that.
It's a mystery.
Well, the show is a mystery, so maybe it is Evolution. But I think it sounds like maybe in my mind, again, knowing nothing, I'm kind of thinking of it as a more official like development program where it's going to be more about like, hey, this is people coming in trying to earn a spot where Dark will become more and more of a show of its own instead of kind of just a bunch of people trying to get time, if that makes sense. But again, I don't know anything. I'm sat here dressed like I'm about to go to prom. What do I know?
You know,
fashion.
Stop talking about yourself. You look good, man. That's all that matters.
I want to clip it out that Flobo said I know fashion, because we disagree on that a lot.
Oh yeah, well Kenny Omega, he doesn't count, but you my guy.
Before we start, as always, I like to remind everyone how the show works. In fact, Flobo, why don't you explain how the show works?
Oh yeah, so here's the deal. It's not just a regular old recap. That's lame. A lead of the week takes what happens on AEW Dynamite and ranks the superstars or tag teams in a 1 to 10 scale, almost like Formula One, where the first place will get 10 points, 9 points for second place, and all the way down. But to make everything interesante, we have the dud of the week, which is a minus point situation. There's also best dress, which somehow Kenny Omega gets every week. I don't know how or why. And my personal favorite, Farmer's Market, where Jack Farmer picks somebody you have no faith in, and if they ever get to be big, he can say, it was my idea all along.
You see right through my plans, Flobo. If I say everyone is someone to look forward to in the future, then I'm eventually going to be right, and I'll lord it over you all. That's how predictions work with this stuff.
I also came back because I was promised that Kenny Omega would win the fashion segment every week.
So. We're going to make him the honorary fashion segment winner. I feel like that's just appropriate. But let's get into the meat and potatoes of the show. Let's talk about what we're all here to talk about. Let's take AEW Dynamite and see who is the elite of the week. Starting at number one, we have Lance Archer, who came out of this looking like a comic book supervillain, dispatching one of Earth's mightiest. He hit Fisherman Busters, power bombs, and one of the biggest choke slams I've seen in a long time, and he punched his ticket to the Face of the Revolution ladder match, where he'll have a chance to earn a shot at the TNT championship. Flobo, is Archer still done for you?
Yes. I will tell you one thing. Today's performance is actually what you call the dead cat bounce. It was great. I liked it. I would say top five. I'll even give you top three. But you're telling me he is number one. 10 points for the murder. What do you call himself now? The murder hawk. The nightmare murder hawk. Are you kidding me? 10 points? This is the best performance of the night? I don't know, man. Maybe I'm just a grumpy Gus, but I don't see him as number one.
He got a massive win that's going to propel him to a title shot in the main event. I feel like everything is there. Roger, how do you feel about him being number one?
He won his match. He delivered on all his movesets. And He main evented Dynamite, guys. Like, why wouldn't he be number one? Like, this man has now entered into this great opportunity at Revolution. He just had a heck of a main event against one of the most rising stars, the best stars that we've seen. And again, he won his match. I am completely with you, man.
Yeah, Dylan in the chat asks if Archer turned heel again. Now, Flobo, I don't know what that word means, but what do you think about that?
I think heel means antagonist, but I do think we're in this kind of, to its credit, AEW doesn't really have hard alliances quite like that because there is common goals, there is common things. So I would say no, but if it were to happen, then I would not be surprised.
I think now, Lance Archer does what Lance Archer wants.
I agree, and I don't think anyone's going to tell him otherwise. At least I'm not going to. They did knuckle bump at the end of the match, him and Phoenix, so I don't think that there's any hard feelings between the two long term. Roger, is Archer at this point the favorite to win that Face of the Revolution ladder match at Revolution?
I think he... That was good.
Yeah. Do not support his puns and wordplay. No, you will not know.
I think he always... To me, he's the favorite. You know, I mentioned last week that to me, he almost feels like the Kane of the company because he's a reliable big guy who always delivers on his matches. I actually feel like he's more of a Brody Lee type of guy because he's so agile. He's so good. The fact that he's even going to go into a ladder match like this, and I don't expect him to stay grounded. I expect him to be a high flyer. I expect him to be flying all over the place. That's how good Lance Archer is. So, yeah, he's a favorite.
I really like Lance Archer. I feel like every match he's in, people just get beat up, and I like seeing people get beat up. I don't know why. Maybe I'm just a jerk. But speaking of jerks, we don't have any in the chat today. We don't have anyone listening along. In fact, I want to give a shout out to some amazing people. We got Haywood Wong. We've got Josh Alonzo in the booth. Slayer. I mean, I don't know if he's still in the booth, but that's
how he made his own.
We got Dylan Matthews, and we've got an Ilion Prada. You got to let me know if I'm pronouncing your name right. I want to make sure I'm getting that right. So thank you guys all so much for joining us along. And if you're listening to this later, thanks so much for listening later, whether it's on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, whether it's on YouTube or Twitch. Thanks so much. Again, those likes, those comments, those subscribes, those shares, all that stuff really makes a big difference. So hit us with a 5-star review. Why don't you? Right, guys?
I agree.
Dylan asks a very valid point. Does Lance Archer even need the ladder?
Well, he's not that tall.
I mean, if he hops, he jumps.
I'm not engaging. Nope, not doing it. I'm not doing it. Because we've been on this road before. We sit here.
Wrestlers do this thing where, like, they really struggle climbing a ladder. You're right. It probably only takes them, like, 2 or 3 runs to really be able to do.
But to be fair, in real life, I do the same thing. I'm like, oh, it's so tall.
I was about to say, you can shake your finger at those guys climbing a ladder slowly until you're in the middle of something like that trying to climb a ladder. It's a dicey game going up a ladder, even when it's on stable ground. So I don't judge them for going slowly.
Yeah, the canvas is not the floor.
No.
I have a step stool here, and I struggle. So I guess.
So anyways, let's keep the show rolling. Let's get to number 2. The number 2 ranked power person of the week is Nyla Rose, who looks strong, looked dominant, and she moved to the American side finals of the Women's Eliminator Tournament, and she did this without Vicky Guerrero, by the way, and managed to handle all the outside distractions, all the game planning, and that shoulder arm injury she suffered to power up 2 beast bombs for a big win. Roger, I'm a huge fan of Vicky Guerrero, but is Nyla better off without her?
You know what? I didn't even realize that Vicky Guerrero wasn't there. You're right. You're right.
Excuse me?
I didn't even... I didn't... Wow. You're supposed to yell it out. Not yell. Nyla Rose, like, you're right. She delivered 2 beast bombs. One of them, she could barely hold her up because her arm was gone. But she... That match was so good. You're right. She doesn't even need Vicky Guerrero. I was really impressed. And we've said this before. Nyla Rose, I feel like she's a bit underrated, but she's a big star in this company, and that was a great win for her.
Yeah, she seems to do the thing where she disappears for a bit and then comes back with a vengeance. So I'm trying to think, there's got to be a Marvel superhero or someone like that that seems to do that, where they disappear for a while and then come back and you're like, uh-oh, this again.
Galactus.
That's a good one, yeah. I'm hungry. Flobo.
Yo.
We've still got some dust to settle from the other matches, but how do you feel about Nyla's odds going forward in the Women's Eliminator Tournament?
Just before I get to that question, I had Nyla as my number one. And the reason why I had Lana Rose at number one, because unlike, sorry, I got it here, the Murderhawk monster, Nyla being an opponent that was a heavy favorite. The weighted opponent should weigh more, because most people had pegged Britt Baker to go through this tournament. Nyla Rose did it in convincing fashion. And to your point, and to Roger's point too, didn't even realize Vicky Guerrero wasn't there, which is probably a good or a bad sign. Not so sure. But to say that she is the favorite to win it all, she might as well be. I mean, look, Riho's got the better of her before, but I do think this time is different, the way this whole tournament shakes out. We don't even know if the Japanese side, whether or not the heavy favorite is going to win that match on Sunday at 7 p.m. Eastern or whatever. So,
On Bleacher Report.
On Bleacher Report, yeah. view now. But if you got to put money on Nyla Rose at any point of her career, now's the time. She came out of absolutely nowhere. Now she's red hot and people are sitting in the crowd boo-hooing about it, because I know Britt Baker has a lot of fans, but Britt Baker will come back because she has beef with Riho, she has beef with Thunder Rosa, she now has beef with Nyla Rose. She can pick wherever she wants to go after next. This is a win-win for everybody.
She has beef with just about everyone. You're right. It's kind of like dirty teeth. She just wants to clean them all, I think. But this really impressed me. I think she had a really good match this evening, not just because she won and not just because it went on for a while, but it felt like this was a different side of her, because usually she comes in as the dominant powerhouse that just sort of bullies people. But this time it was kind of like the gang up was against her. Typically she's kind of a jerk, but the odds kind of were against her tonight, and I thought she overcame them. And even though I think typically we're sat there rooting against her, by the end of this match I was rooting for her. Am I on an island with that, or do you guys kind of feel the same way?
I feel like even Tony was rooting for her.
Well, Tony probably more than most.
yeah. This could be the start of something big. I don't think Nyla will be a protagonist outright, but I think AEW has been trying to find a way to make Nyla sympathetic without going to the big glowing arrow, right? So how do you make her sympathetic? And over the time, if you want to give credit to long-term storytelling, her win-loss record has been favorable, but absolutely frustrating. Like the bridesmaid, but never the bride. But here's what you do. You go against somebody who's hated universally, but somehow still the favorite, and you beat them to a pulp. Well, that's one way to do it, right? She shut up Britt Baker. Big Swole kind of did that, but then she disappeared. But Nyla Rose beat up Britt Baker, and she'd be here next week or the week after.
That's true. We've beaten up Britt Baker before, but I feel like this time she might actually shut up.
You know, I hate that you said never a bridesmaid. Oh, is it never a bride, always a bridesmaid? Because I have that in my notes for later tonight, and now I'm going to say it again, and it's totally not going to sound as cool and fresh when I do it, Flobo. I'm disappointed.
I'll sell it, brother.
Okay. So when I say it, could you guys just be like, when I say it, could you guys just be like, oh!
Wow. Please clap.
Speaking of clapping, let's go to number three. The number third ranked person on the list is Jon Moxley. Solid win, looked dominant against an up-and-comer. But man, when he sits in a chair backwards, you better brace yourself for a great promo, because he'll come out there and he'll say, like, I'm going to crawl through barbed wire and explosions and hickory dickory dock. And he just has this intensity. I mean, fire, blood, burns, torture, agony, vintage Japanese magazines. I mean, he comes out of this thing just so fired up. I don't know how anyone else could not feel fired up. He says that if this match leads to the end, then it's a hell of a way to go out. Great promo. Really makes me feel like that match is now must see, followed up by a great video package as well. Fellas, either one of you, if you want to take this, did Kenny Omega make a mistake making this match?
Of course he made a mistake. Yeah. There's explosions, you guys. who wants that? Like, who voluntarily does that? And to John Moxley. It's like if I go to an autograph signing and I'm like, I want you to autograph that with explosions. Like, who does that?
We're finally getting blood and guts with explosions. Yeah, John Moxley, you know what? About your placement number three, I don't disagree. I don't agree either. I was like, oh, you know what? I think you've convinced me, because the match itself was good, but it could have been any part of the card. But here's a matchup that I think already sells itself, right? Sells itself. Like, you're going to show up and see who's going to blow to smithereens. But that said, there's this weird, awesome, beautiful, terrible, horrible thing about John Moxley making it like he has to do it. You know, like, well, you know, I just have to have you blown up to, like, oh my, this guy's sadistic. And he starts the night. Like, well, are you kidding me? So I think of the two men, I'm definitely on board with John Moxley. Number three is fair with me.
He does kind of come off like a psychopath. Like, I have to do this. No, you don't. No. You can wrestle a regular match. It's totally fine. You know, you can even go for the tag team titles. You can do a lot of different things, John. You do not need to blow up in the middle of the ring. Kenny Omega is going to look like Daffy Duck at some point with his beak blown to the back of his head.
God, help me.
But this was, I mean, to your point, Flo, but I think you make a good point. I'll be honest, the win... you're right. It was an unranked opponent, Ryan Nemeth, who's kind of just getting going. But it was the promo that really pushed him up this list for me, because no one brings the intensity like John Moxley does when he brings that heat and that fire. I mean, he was just dripping sweat talking in the middle of that ring. I mean, it was after the match, but it's more fun to say it like that. By the way, Ryan Nemeth, Roger, he came out with a record of 2-2. Does he have a better record than his brother at this point?
That's messed up. Yes.
I'm just saying. I was thinking about
that's
it.
Messed up. Like, I'll pile on. Yes.
I'm just thinking about it. Like, you know, I mean, when you factor
give him
out
a strap.
When you factor out the averages. So next up is the part of the show where I always feel like I'm gonna get the most feet friction from you guys on something like that. But this is best dressed. It's the best dressed of the night. It's where I pick whoever I thought just had a little bit of flair, a little bit of style tonight. And
here we go.
Don't worry, Flobo. This week, the best dressed is going to be split between two people. I'm giving it to Mama and Papa Buck. I mean, I love the red jacket that Mama Buck was wearing with the, like, kind of shine to it. And Papa Buck with that amazing shirt. I mean, he may have gotten a little wrinkled by the end of the night.
Wrinkled?
I thought it was rather fetching.
Wrinkled? The whole world is like, look at his shirt. It's medium starch. What are you doing, Jericho?
Flobo, are you okay with this pick for best dressed?
I actually agree. I have Papa Buck down as best dressed, so I can't even get mad. But it wasn't wrinkled, Jack. That was dear.
Yeah, I was thinking that poor dry cleaner worked so hard on that, and now I got to redo it.
It's covered in tomato soup, but it's wrinkled.
You guys, they look cute. They look cute. They got all dressed up to go see their sons. They were taking pictures. That's so adorable.
It really was. Well, now, Roger, I know, look, Kenny Omega, he had the Texas Chainsaw Massacre look going tonight. But do you feel like it's fair to give it to Mama and Papa Buck?
I do. It felt like some of my uncles and aunts that dress up, you know, to go to the nights, but to the little event in the local town. It was cute, man. I'm okay with it.
I wonder, I'd like to think that they're watching the show right now saying to themselves, shouldn't it be Mama and Papa Jackson? But whatever.
I think it's kind of odd that Mama Buck has more points than Powerhouse Hobbs at this point. But that's just me, man.
Hey, if Powerhouse Hobbs walked out wearing a red shiny jacket, then that would be remedied. That's on him.
Pro tip.
That's on him. But
if Mama and Papa Buck end up winning this whole thing at the end of the year, that'll be wild.
Yeah. Ahead of all these other people. I'll be like, number two, Kenny Omega. Number one, Mama and Papa Buck. They stacked points in the fashion category. But I thought they looked good. I thought it was a great moment too. I mean, that really heated things up for that whole rivalry. And the image of their dad's blood on the back of the truck was great.
What? Great. Well, apparently, I guess Jack didn't need John Moxley's promo. He's already on board.
Well, you're talking about crawling through landmines. Of course I'm geared towards violence. That's just what happens. It's not my fault. It's John
Moxley. A senior citizen painted a picture of his own son in his blood, and Jack's like, that's good news right there. I like that. That's dope. Wow.
I went from praising his style to suddenly saying I enjoyed him getting smashed in the back of a truck.
And if you're listening to the audio version, Jack is a guy wearing a suit and tie. You know how sadistic that looks right now? Terrible.
Have you seen American Psycho?
Yeah, exactly. Oh my gosh.
He was dressing up as Papa Buck got beaten up.
I was tightening the tie. Like,
I'll get the good tie.
As I was talking about my ivory colored business cards. So, number four, we have Rey Fénix, who is one of the most impressive wrestlers today. Full stop. From his entrance with that amazing samurai looking mask and cape, to getting cheeky with Archer leaning on his chest, to the way he leapt over Jake the Snake on that dive, the Spanish M&F and fly to Lance Archer off the top. I'm convinced that Fénix is operating on Mars gravity structure, and I don't care who he is in the ring with. Give me Rey Fénix every single week. Flobo.
Yo.
Since he lost in another big spot, are you done with Rey Fénix?
I feel like this is a loaded question. And the answer is no. And if you want my honest opinion, I love Rey. I like him a lot. I do think that he's kind of stuck in this like second or third gear situation. He can be doing a lot more in the brand. And my hot take, my kind of warm take, the dip your finger in and see if it's too hot take, is that Justin Roberts got to cut it down because it makes him a cartoon character. He comes out ready to fight, and the announcer's going, picture, break, back, Fénix. It's like, oh, come on, man. Like, have him come out and beat people up. Have him go toe-to-toe with the Murder Hawk without making it seem like I'm watching some guy coming up from, like, a Liberace tour. And Rey Fénix could be a guy, a bona fide member of that roster, for sure.
You're right. This is loaded like a baked potato. But you know what? I like this. You might disagree. I've gone to matches in Mexico, and that's a spectacle of it. I think that's what makes him special. I've told Jack this before. Whenever someone performs well in Mexico, they throw coins in the ring. Let's just start that too. Let's start throwing coins anytime Rey Fénix throws himself off the top rope. I want even more of it. I want the announcers to go wild. I want more fire. I want all of it when Rey Fénix is fighting.
I gotta go with you, Roger. I like it. I like that it's fun and it's different. Flobo, just because you can't roll your R's doesn't mean you gotta give up.
I can. You can't. Say restaurante. Say Gutierrez.
I will after the show. This is.
I feel really awkward as the only Mexican here.
Well, I'm gonna ask you, Roger. Hey, Roger, can you say guaro? No, I'm
just kidding. Yeah, I think I like when it comes to the entrances, my only critique would be, and look, that's a hard job, but that some entrances do seem to have a little bit more to them in AEW than others. And I don't know if it's by design or what, but like John Moxley obviously has the big one. Rey Fénix has a big one. But then a lot of other big names like Lance Archer, it's done well. It's a good intro, but it also just sounds like he's just saying the name. I mean, in a good way. I'm not trying. You know what I mean. I'm not trying to put down.
Look, I'm not anti-fun. Like I always pop when Greg Hamilton does this thing with the Samoa Joes and the Radar Superstar from Tony Chinimal. But like today, more importantly, it felt like Justin Roberts went to business for himself, and Ray was secondary.
I'm guessing John Roberts is not going to get any points anytime soon.
Not for me. I can't make it a vote. Jack wins all the points. But if I could.
He would have been the dud of the week. Is that what you're saying?
Every week.
But to your point, he's stealing the spotlight from Rey Fénix right now. We're talking about him now instead of Fénix.
Blast.
You know, Roger, I got to ask you this. You're wearing a NASA shirt. Is he operating on Mars gravity structure?
I wasn't sure who got us to Mars, but now I feel like I know who got us there. It's Ray Phoenix, baby. That's who got us to Mars. Like, there's no way someone's walking on ropes like this. There's no way someone's throwing themselves out into the crowd like this and not going to Mars. Like this makes sense. This guy is on a whole other level. He actually reminds me of Jeff Hardy, because, like you said, he's a little bit stuck. And sometimes that type of talent gets stuck in a level where they don't win matches. But you know what? That doesn't matter. We're all going to remember what a great match it was. He made the list, so we're good.
Yeah, he it felt a little bit like he was you know, when Archer was doing his thing where he walks on the rope and then later Phoenix did it, it felt like he was a little bit like, this is how you walk on the ropes, big fella. Flobo, Roger made a point about him being similar to a Jeff Hardy in a way. Let me ask you this. If you had the ear of Ray Phoenix and you could tell him to either go the singles route and continue what he's doing or reunite with Penta and go after those tag team titles as the Lucha Brothers, what do you say to him?
Single with a bullet. And it's not a knock against Penta
El Zero.
I'm not sure what Pentagon we're using here, but Penta El Zero M, or Pentagon, or Pentagon Jr., or Senor Penta. But the thing is, I feel like we've seen Lucha Brothers a lot, and it's not bad. It's always reliable. It's a nice double quarter pounder with cheese. I love it. But sometimes you want a patty melt. Sometimes you want a steak. It's Ray Phoenix's time to go out in the zone. Even though he has that DNA with him, here's a chance for us to say, okay, I like this guy for this reason. Much like the Hardy Boys, to Roger's point.
You're right. He's like the quarter pounder of the roster. He's not the Big Mac, but he's a good quarter pounder.
I like them both. I think you should put those two burgers together and call them the Burger Brothers and have no fear in eating them. No, I...
That sounds like a cheat day meal. One Burger Bros, please.
One Burger Bros.
They're finishing move. It's a cheat meal.
It's a cheat meal. They're out cold.
Would that make that a heel meal? Because it's a cheat meal.
Probably.
So number five, we have Sting, who had the guts to come back after that big power bomb. So hey, good on him. Plus, he put Hook in a body bag this time to avenge his buddy Darby just a little bit, and he finally hit his Stinger Splash. Finally got to use that Scorpion Death Drop on Cage, get a little revenge. And it would have been easy for him to sit out or to stay backstage and cut a promo, but he took the fight, and I mean fight, to a guy who really bullied him a week ago. Roger, did Sting even the odds here a little bit?
Of course he did. Sting just makes me so happy. It just reminds me of like what I used to love about WCW. Everything about that, the theatrics, it was great. It's Golden Globe season, so I thought I was watching a new category just thrown in for the award season. That was good, man. Sting definitely evened things up.
Yeah, Golden Globes. Why isn't there a best entrance category?
Valid question.
But I did. That's why I wanted to ask you that, Roger, because I know you're an old school WCW guy like myself. So I, of course, loved seeing it. Flobo, are you excited to see what Sting can do at Revolution now that you've seen him survive a powerbomb and dish out some moves of his own?
I don't like this tone, Jack. You're like, you know, Roger, that's why I asked you, a big WCW fan. Now, Flobo, what do you think about it? What? Look, this had to have happened. Because if I was the guy in the sky, I would not even have Sting near a ring at all. But that's out the window now. Because last week we went out to the ring, we saw the memes, we all laughed at the memes and shared it with our friends. That has to get some sort of like, this guy can still go. And it hit that mark. Now, the question I have is this. At Revolution, will Sting be the one that takes the fight? He defended himself today. But now, he has momentum. Is he going to be the one to take the fight? Is he going to run Team Taz out of town? Or will Team Taz get the best of him? That I don't know, but I do think his chances are pretty good after tonight.
Well, you know, I had a thought, and that is one thing that's for sure with Sting is nothing's for sure. So I'm smelling shenanigans at Revolution. I don't think it's going to be as straight up as we think. I think something may go down that's bigger than just a 2-on-2, I guess, street fight match is what we're calling it. I think something's going to happen. I think something big's going to happen. I know this isn't a prediction for Revolution show, but I don't know. Something smells fishy to me.
Yeah.
If you've ever followed WCW, what that means is that Sting should watch his back, because that guy has the worst luck with friends. So
he really does. And for all we know, this is fake Sting. Could be anybody. Could be my old chum Jeff Farmer dressing up like Sting again.
Jeff Farmer. It's Joker Sting. That's all it is.
Joker
Sting.
TNA Sting. Please. Oh, how funny would it be with the crossover if Sting invaded Impact as Joker Sting?
Remember me?
Oh, that would be such a letdown. What wasn't a letdown tonight was person number six, and that is Britt Baker, who is quickly becoming one of those... Oh, it's a bridesmaid, never a bride. Never really got rolling. She was a smart wrestler here, though, with the way she overcame the size disadvantage and had a game plan that almost worked out against Nyla Rose and even kicked out of a beast bomb. Amazing showcase for the women's division overall here. I got to be honest with you. I really popped up when I saw that she kicked out of that first beast bomb. But Roger, what's next for Britt Baker at this point?
I mean, she's a dentist, so she has to go to work tomorrow morning.
That's a good one.
but on a wrestling ring, I feel like the lockjaw is all, like, I was so happy every time she tried to apply the lockjaw, because that move is devastating, man. I legit thought Britt Baker had this in the bag. There were a few times when she had her cornered. I think she'll be fine. That move could take down most of the women's roster, and she'll be back.
Yeah, Flobo, do you think this is a fair spot for the DMD on the list?
I think so. I think it totally makes sense. I mean, she wasn't a losing end in this matchup, and she was a favorite going in, so disappointing in that. And even though Nala would totally win every tail of the tape, Britt Baker did have the momentum. She was on TV more, Nala had a worse record. But here's a question I have about Britt Baker, the one you had earlier, is where she go next? The world is her oyster. We mentioned this before. She can go after anyone she wants to. But ultimately, and the bigger question is this. For as long as there's been an AEW women's division, people have been telling me in the DMs, in the chats, on the street, when I go, hey, you watch AEW? Okay, I do. Where is Britt Baker's time to be on top of his division? Whether it be number one contender, whether it be the actual champion, whether it be the NWA champion, that's going to be an AEW thing. You can't keep Britt Baker in this sidecar for long. And so I think it's a good spot in the list, because she has some thinking to do about her career.
Do you think maybe she's becoming a victim of her own success? She's so good at what she does, whether it be spending time doing the dentistry, whether it be doing the waiting room segments on AEW Dark. Do you think maybe she's just too divided and needs to focus just a little bit more time on the dubs and the L's instead of being such a character for us to watch?
Yeah, professional wrestling is real, in which it is. I would say, yes, go back to the gym and focus on your matches. But I think ultimately it's the thing we all have with all kind of entertainment shows. If some person could fit in anywhere, you put them anywhere and say, don't worry about this, or worry about this match, or worry about the storyline. We need you filling this segment with this comedy bit. We need you doing this promo with Tony. We need you doing these other things. So yeah, Britt Baker needs to shut all of that, go back, get our old classic drill at Barnes to the dance, and refocus.
Wait, you guys want her to quit her practice?
No, I'm saying quit all the stuff she's doing now and go get the old drill who brought her to the dance, like the classic drill. The Titantron, sorry, the Videotron.
The Elite.
For breaking her face. Yeah, the Elite Tron. For breaking faces.
I think it's not too much to ask for her to give up everything else she has in life and focus solely on happens on Dynamite. I think that's a fair thing to ask of somebody. Flobo, to your point, and Roger, I'd like to maybe hear your comments before we move on. Is she like too good at everything else? Does it work against her?
What was that?
Is it working against her being so good with everything else, like the waiting room? I mean, she's already got a line of challengers. I mean, without the title on her, she's already got a ton of people who want a shot at her. Is that holding her back a little bit?
I think that's a fair assessment. And you're right. I think the fact that a lot of people want a shot at her, maybe that says more about the women's division than it does about her. I actually feel like she's in a good place. And I think it's a fair criticism to say, like, she hasn't applied herself in order to actually go for the title. But I'm okay with it. And I think she knows she's on the right path. Maybe not on the quickest path where we want to go, but I think she's fine.
Well, someone who's not fine is the dud of the week. This is the segment I hate doing, guys. I don't like it, but my advertisers and my producers and all the people who pull the strings of this show, they tell me, Jack, you need to have a dud of the week. You need to, if you're going to rank out the best, you got to let us know who was at the very end of the list, the one who was at the dead last. And this week, the dud of the week is Brandon Cutler. He's been getting some wins since finally ending his losing streak, but he lost in a hard match today against Jake Hager without much offense, and he took a beatdown right afterwards. So as much as I may like the guy, it was a rough night for the fella. Fellas, does he deserve to be at the dead end of the list?
-1 point.
He had a great entrance.
Yeah.
He had a great entrance.
He comes on to work. He got a brand new entrance. Put on this helmet, man. It's repainted. Comes home after a hard day of working. Flips on the show and goes, I'm a dud. I'm a dud.
Imagine the guy, he woke up today. He's like, I'm going to have a match tonight on Dynamite. I'm calling my parents. And then all of that happens. And then the after show, he's the dud of the week. Oh, my God.
I know. Like, terrible.
I mean, if I went and got beat up by Jake Hager and then had a bunch of people come out and beat me up, I wouldn't go home thinking, I sure had a swell day. That was a good day at the office.
Swell.
You know, I'd feel like, yeah, that was a pretty rough day. That didn't go well. And if I turned on a show with three amazing, good-looking hosts that said, yeah, you had a really bad day, I'd go, you know what? You guys understand me. You get it. Some days you roll a 20, some days you roll a 1, and unfortunately, Brandon rolled a 1 today.
That's fair. I had Hook as my dud of the week because, like, was he convinced? Was there candy in the bag? Like, how'd he get it? How'd he get it? I got pre-workout in there. Whee!
Yeah, I thought that was pretty late. In a body bag. That's true.
Whatever. Now I like to imagine that it was like a body bag leaned on a stick with a string on it. It was like, candy. Hey,
what's this? What's this? But hey, float your boat. Sorry, Brandon Cutler.
Or Sting was walking around with a giant net.
Like Elmer Fudd just was.
Yes. Wow. I'm hunting hooks.
Elmer Fudd for the chip.
And number 7, Elmer Fudd. No. number 7, Brian Cage. He has power that is simply more impressive than teamwork. The drill claw looks like the most terrifying move in all of pro wrestling right now and is slowly building an unstoppable amount of momentum. He'd be higher up on the list, but he did get beat up at the end of the match by Sting. Roger, I've asked Flobo this. I'm going to ask you this now. Do you want to see Cage defend the FTW title, or would you rather he just let it slowly disappear?
No, I want to see that title defended. That title has history, and if there's anyone that could give it some credibility, it's Cage. I feel like seeing him powerbomb people into, like, the corner pose, like, that man is full raw power. So I want that person defending this title and using that power against anyone he can.
But what is it? Sorry, could you
I was going to say, follow up. That was my next.
If you become the FTW champion, what are you the champion of in 2021 in AEW? Like, why are you mad? Or does it stand for further win?
You woke up mad, and that's why I'm the FTW champion.
But like, you're not champion of the world or a region. You're not a champion of any kind of like division. You're just a champion of what? Being upset at people?
Yes.
Okay.
We live in a world where someone can be the champion of 24s and 7s, and you're questioning the FTW championship.
Because the gimmick is you defend it 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, right?
So what are you the champion of if you're the X Division champion?
You are basically a cruiserweight that's open weight. That's exactly what the X Division is. It's an open weight cruiserweight division. Is it not?
That makes no sense.
The never open weight championship usually has smaller performers or bigger performers. As long as they can go at a certain pace, you consider it X division. Whether you're Moose, whether you're Trey Miguel, you can go in that division.
Okay,
you have the FTW championship. What does that stand for?
Okay, the meaning of the FTW title, the history behind
now. I mean, now.
No, I know, but that's the point. you say screw the system. And this is someone that has been ranked pretty highly, and he hasn't been given his proper due. He doesn't get the proper title shot that he deserves. He doesn't get the proper TV time that he deserves. So you know what? I am making myself the FTW champion, and I'm going to go out there and show everyone why I should have a title around my waist. It makes sense to me.
It does to me, because he got a title match. I Fight for the Fallen. Now he's walking around with a participation trophy.
I forgot about that.
Listen. Okay, in that case, I was drawing my statement. Roger's right.
Dylan in the chat asks a great question. He says, or makes a great comment, I want people to at least challenge for the FTW title. Why people haven't even challenged yet confuses me. I would respond with, have you seen Brian Cage? I wouldn't challenge him. He powerbombed Brian Pillman into a ring post, and poor Brian Pillman's butt caught that steel step. I saw that. That must have hurt terribly. I wouldn't want my butt to get caught by a ring step, so I wouldn't challenge
him. Oh, my God. Quote of the week.
Yeah. Don't catch Jack's butt.
I mean, otherwise I wouldn't be able to wear my buttless chaps. It wouldn't,
For the ladies.
For the ladies.
A tragedy.
Next up, we got number 8. It's Darby Allin. He used that video style he does all the time to get out of the desert, and I thought it looked kind of cool with coming out with Sting-inspired face paint. And when he was in the ring, he looked like he was wearing a different style of getup as well that I thought looked cool. I love that it was Darby that came down on the zip line because he's a risk taker, and that's kind of what the zip line is. But it's also something Sting would do, so I like the homage to him. It was a really cool twist that I liked to see. Darby Allin clearing out Team Taz, getting a little bit of revenge for getting drugged behind a car for, I guess, miles into the desert. How did you guys feel about Darby tonight?
When people go to like Discovery Zone or Chuck E. Cheese, like Darby Allin doesn't like that. He likes to be pulled from the back of a vehicle through the desert. That's his fun. So he was having a blast. I thought I was back in 96. I thought HBK had returned. That was beautiful, man. He rappelled from the... You saw the audience go wild. I had a blast with that. I was really happy he came out and did his thing. That's the top highlight for me.
Yeah. I can't knock the other 7 people on the list, but that was kind of a cool highlight for me too. I probably would have put him higher himself, or the fact that he's on number 8 just shows how stacked the show was. But Darby Allin has found new ways to entertain. Granted, he doesn't talk much, but when he does do things, it's always like, oh yeah, that's pretty cool, you know?
Yeah, I thought it was a cool moment, and I think it's gonna be something we'll probably see in highlights for a little bit. Going on to number 9, Hangman Adam Page. He was hitting massive clotheslines and dives, seemed to be adding a little extra stank to everything he did tonight. Loved his reversal into a DVD, got a win in a very muddy match. Flobo, I know you're a huge fan of TH2, but they got paid and still couldn't help Cassidy win. Should Hardy be asking for his money back?
Yes, but there's no refunds, so you can ask all you want, man. Look, man, I'm a big Angelico fan. I'll be the heel. I'll be the heel in your show. Maybe TH2.
I don't know what that means.
Oh, I'm sorry. I'll be the person that gets all the hate mail. You'd at me at Real Jack Farmer for all your hate mail. But maybe I'm in a position that's saying that maybe TH2 needs to go their separate ways. Maybe Angelico needs to do the whole Rey Fénix thing and go out on his own for a bit. They cannot not have a break. They don't have to break up. They don't have to hash it out and split all the appliances down the middle. But maybe try singles matches, because it's not working together as a unit for me.
Matt Hardy feels like a used car salesman, man. I don't know if I trust anything coming from Matt Hardy. I think TH2, I think Private Party need to really look at themselves, because, you know, Hangman got the best of everyone. And I don't even know if he's in the Dark Order. I don't know what Hangman's up to, but you know what? He looked impressive as heck today. So...
Well, Roger, that actually leads me to my question for you. Is Hangman going to join the Dark Order, or is he just a wild stallion that can never be tamed?
Yeah.
And I want you to use those words.
I think, in a way, we're all part of the Dark Order. And I think that's how Hangman looks at it. Exactly. He's never going to fully commit. We're back to this whole bridesmaid thing. He's never going to fully commit to this, but I think he likes them.
Yeah, I mean, I want to see it happen. I feel like even if it only lasts for a little bit, I would love to see him come out with the group and as the group for a little bit. It's just one of those things I think would feel fun, you know, to see happen. Number 10, though, you alluded to it. We chatted about it, and they seem to be joined at the hip anyway. So number 10, Matt Hardy. He's buying himself a stable, Private Party, TH2. Sign me up. I want to be part of any group that's going to pay me to be there. Was also able to dish out some damage on his opponent at Revolution, which, remember, 2021 Q1 earnings are on the line. So, hey, this match may end up paying for itself in the end. But what really sets him apart is he declared war on the Dark Order, taking out Alan Angels and throwing him through the table. Roger, everyone thought at one time Matt Hardy would be the leader of the Dark Order. Could he actually be the end of the Dark Order?
Ooh, those are strong words, Mr. Farmer. Mm-hmm. I feel like Matt Hardy can't end anything. I don't even know if he pays his group, but I think so far things are looking promising. He looked really powerful today. Yeah. Sure, I guess he could end the Dark Order, but I don't know, man. I don't trust Matt Hardy.
Well, that leads me to you, Flobo. If you're picking a side, are you going to be a Dark Order creeper or a big money spender?
Talk about the opposite of Sophie's Choice. Yikes. Because to Roger's point, what is the Dark Order now? We haven't had an answer yet. I understand we can't expect an answer, right? But are they a cool social club? Is it still a cult? Because if it's a cult, I'm going to say no, right? but Big Buddy Matt, too, he's been on the losing end of some really bad on Tuesday nights also, on Wednesday nights. So I guess, you know, all's fails, always sell out the cash, man. That's how I do it. But I'm surprised that your boy Jericho did not make this list this week. What is up with that?
You know, it was a close call. It was tough. I mean, he had multiple reasons for. One, he got a big attack on the Young Bucks. Well done. His shirt looked really nice, too. It was up there. It was up there for a fashion award, but it just wasn't enough to break through. I mean, who do you take off the list to put him in?
And you're an honorary member of the Inner Circle. What's going on, Jack?
Yeah, that's really your boys.
Yeah, you know, we're going through some stuff right now. I don't want to air dirty laundry.
The outlaw chaps you could wear.
How they say. But everything's going to be fine. Everything's going to work itself out. But look, this is why I try to align myself with multiple groups. So when one falls apart, I can just distance myself and go to the next one. I'll sell out in a heartbeat. I won't lie. That's what I do. It's my nature.
My favorite moment of the night is when he slammed Pop up against the production truck and was like, fall down. And like shoves him. I was like, yeah, cute is. Savage.
Cold as December snow.
That was awesome.
But I get a bunch. You make fun of me for saying I like the way the blood splattered on the on the back of the truck.
I'm not wearing the suit.
That's true. You guys came ready for violence today. Like, I didn't expect Papa Buck to be like such a hot discussion today. Like, you guys were really happy about this.
Yeah, I mean, it wasn't sad. I didn't cry.
I was proud of him. I thought he looked great and did great things. It was a good spot in the night. So I'm happy for both Mama and Papa Buck. But we do have one more thing to mention here, one more part, and it's Farmer's Market. If it's your first time watching, as Flobo said in the beginning, it's where I pick someone from AEW Dark to keep an eye on. It might be a good time to invest in them. And so the person I'm going to reach out to, if you watch AEW Dark, this was a tough week to pick, but someone stood out, and it was Dan Joseph. A couple of times the names was wrong when the commentator said it, but you could tell whenever he was in the ring, they picked up. They seemed to be chatting more and more whenever he was doing stuff. He didn't end up getting the momentum he needed to win because I think he was tag teaming with a rival of his, Levi Shapiro. I got to be honest, I saw him up close and personal at Primetime Live, so I maybe saw a little bit more of him. But I'm telling you guys, Dan Joseph is one of those guys. If you're a wrestling fan, kind of wrestler fan that likes wrestling, you know what I mean? Like the real wrestling type of wrestling fan. He's the kind of guy that you're going to like to see. You're going to like to see more of him. And the fact that he had just a taste of the big stage is going to be the start of something big for him. So if you want to start following a career that's early on in taking off, Dan Joseph is a guy to check out.
Yo, Roger, are you a wrestling fan that likes wrestling?
I'm not sure what I signed up for.
I know.
Yeah.
Same here.
Well, now you guys can never leave.
You want us to invest. Do you take Bitcoin for this guy? Like, how much are you investing?
Right now? Yeah, I'll take a Bitcoin for this guy. we'll see how it looks in a few years. But for now, I will say, I mean, come on, Bitcoin is it's through the roof right now.
To the moon, baby.
To the moon. That's the wrong show. We're not doing that. but that does it for us. You guys have stayed your hour. Thanks again for everyone who joined along and watched along. Before we go, Roger, can you let everyone know where they can find you online?
Yeah, you can find me on Twitter, Roger Corral. I also have a YouTube channel, Roger Talks Wrestling. I have a few projects there. Just uploaded some new content this week. And, you know, if you guys welcome me, I am happy to come back here every week and hang out with you guys as well. So, good all around. Yeah.
Well, we love having you, so we will probably be seeing a lot more of you. Flobo, where can we find you online?
Well, this guy, Jack Farmer, and I have a show on Thursday. It's called Draped in Gold, where we cover NXT UK and NXT. Check that out at drapedingold.com.
Yes, and my name is Jack Farmer. You can find me at Real Jack Farmer across all social media. I actually was a special guest on a really cool show called The People's Pod, where we chatted about Elimination Chamber and the future road to WrestleMania. It's going to be dropping on Friday, so keep a lookout for that one. It's a great show. Also hosting Primetime Live and Championship Wrestling from Hollywood, which you can find on Fight TV. It's free, so check it out. That does it for us. That does it for this week's show. So until next time, as always, do your best and be yourself.